seated for our first reading.
The reading will be found on the Church Bibles, page 218. The epistle is written in the second chapter of Paul's first letter to Thessalonians, beginning at the 17th verse. As for you, brothers and sisters, when, for a short time, we were made orphans by being separated from you in person, not in heart, we longed with great eagerness to see you face to face. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, wanted to again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? Yes, you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we decided to be left alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy, our brother and co-worker for God, in proclaiming the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you for the sake of your faith, so that no one will be shaken by these persecutions. Indeed, you yourselves know that this is what we are destined for. In fact, when we were with you, we told you beforehand that we were to suffer persecution. So it turned out, as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that somehow the tempter had tempted you and that our labor had been in vain. But Timothy has now come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love. He has told us also that you always remember us kindly and long to see us, just as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers and sisters, during all our distress and persecution, we have been encouraged about you through your faith. For we now live if you continue to stand firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see your face, you face to face, and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. And now, may the God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Here endeth the epistle.
The gospel reading will be found in the Church Bibles on page 113, and the Holy Gospel is written in the 14th chapter of John, beginning at the 23rd verse. And Jesus answered Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way. Here ends the Gospel.
The Father.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for, well, I thank you, Lord, for what you've given me to say, and I just pray that people will hear what you want each one of us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. You'll remember the reading that used to start this series from Acts 17, and how Paul and Silas were smuggled out of the city of Thessalonica at night after a jealous mob had challenged them. Our reading starts with a reminder that we heard earlier from Albert. Our reading starts with a reminder of that incident and the profound distress it caused Paul. We were made orphans by being separated from you. He is well aware of the seeds he sowed and the young shoots that were blossoming. He's also well aware of Satan's attempts to harm and disrupt the gospel message being proclaimed, as was Jesus in our reading from John. One of Satan's favorite tricks these days is to persuade people that he doesn't exist and that he's just a cartoon character. But he does, and he's not. So we need discernment and protection. Paul was certainly under no illusions as to his activity, and acknowledges that weaknesses and temptations affect all of us at some times in our Christian walk, and that the support and encouragement of friends are needed more when they do. Paul had such a deep longing for the new Christians he had had to leave behind that he sent Timothy, who was, presumably, unknown to the city authorities, so would not be attacked straight away, to see how they were doing. Have you ever sat in a hospital waiting room while a loved one is in the operating theatre? You find all sorts of ways to distract yourself in your anxiety. Endless cups of tea, trying to read, compulsive talking, and every time anyone in a white coat comes past, you look up expectantly, wanting news. And then finally, the doctor arrives, hopefully with good news. I get the impression that Paul was in such a state of mind waiting for Timothy to return, imagining all the things that might have happened to the fledgling church he'd left behind in Thessalonica. In this case, Timothy, in his white coat, had very good news, and we can sense the relief and delight that Paul feels at his report. Paul's love and friendship for the Thessalonian Christians is profound, as was his distress at having to leave them. So his joy is deep. It's interesting, though, that in verse 7, he focuses on their faith, having mentioned faith and love in verse 6. Why this and not any other quality? As the writer of Hebrews proclaims, without faith it is impossible to please God. Indeed, the whole of chapter 11 of Hebrews is a long list of biblical heroes who achieve great things by faith. Now, I've heard people define faith as believing 10 impossible things before breakfast, but that's not what Christian faith is about. Christian faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I was in Edinburgh the other week helping to look after two grandsons. The older one, Ben, had a favourite game of jumping off the coffee table to be caught by his father or me. Each time he did it, he moved further away until finally we stopped him, because he's a solid boy. But he had faith that we would catch him, because his past experience told him so. This is a very simplified illustration, but if we trust God in the small things and find his trust worthy, we will start to trust him for bigger things. It's not sure how long Paul had been in Thessalonica, but probably only a matter of weeks. However, it seems evident that his teaching had covered the whole range of events right up to Jesus' return at the end of time, or eschatology. Which is why he could pray in verse 13, "May he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." Again, harking back to Jesus' message in our gospel reading, "I am going away and I am coming to you." The hope and faith Paul had instilled in them were still strong in spite of his absence. This comes back to the illustration Simon used in introducing this letter, that of Blondin on a tightrope across Niagara, anchored behind him in faith and in front of him in hope. And this has been a huge relief to Paul, as shown in verse 8. "For now we live, if you continue to stand firm in the Lord." His anxieties have been removed. You can just hear the enormous sigh. Phew, they're okay. The word translated "stand firm" is apparently a military term for adopting a strong defensive position. They are not going to be shifted. This concept is expanded in Paul's later letter to the Ephesians in chapter 6, when he talks about putting on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." If you read through the rest of the chapter, you'll realize that all the armor is on the front. There's no question of turning your back on the enemy. He is to be faced and defeated face to face. So what's changed? Nothing yet. But it will in his good time when Jesus finally returns. Paul's joy and encouragement is really shown in his outpouring of thanksgiving in verses 9 and 10. "How can we thank our God enough for you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you." And his request in verse 11, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you." Notice that the prayer is rooted in God, the God we know through the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings together past, present, and future, where Paul rejoices in what God has done in the past, asks for God to continue to work in the present, and prays for the present in the light of the future when our Lord Jesus comes with his holy ones. It's a real prayer of Christian commitment and friendship to the Thessalonian church. Do you get the feeling, as I have, that Paul sees that his presence with the believers in Thessalonica would help them stand firm in the face of persecution and trials? And while I'm not suggesting that any one person could do that for all of us here, I am suggesting that individually there will be people we can support with friendship and encouragement. I don't believe there can be an isolated Christian, or only in very exceptional circumstances. We all need support, friendship, and encouragement. Mixing my metaphors slightly, imagine the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, when the tongues as of fire descended on the disciples. And then compare that with a coal fire in your grate at home. If you take out one lump of burning coal, it will soon go out in isolation. It only keeps on burning in the company of other burning lumps. And so with us, our Christian faith only keeps burning in the company of others. So friendship and fellowship are vital. And I leave you with a question and a challenge for me as well. If we knew Jesus was coming back next month, what difference would it make to the way we live this month? May I pray for us? I don't think I can finish any better than to quote Paul in verses 12 and 13. May the Lord make us increase and abound in love for one another and for all. And may he so strengthen our hearts in holiness that we may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen.